now it's time to say hello to the internet.
Yes, say hello to the internet, weird.
Hello, internet! The internet isn't saying anything back.
Yeah. Hello, weird.
The internet's being passive-aggressive today.
The internet found out about that bad thing I'm doing, and they're not talking.
Wait a minute. There's something so bad that the internet doesn't like it? Wow. No. I'm shocked.
The internet sends me pictures of duck penises.
You've weirded out the internet, weird.
There's no such thing. The internet is always weirder than I am. The only reason why people consider me weird is because I like it.
You know, the funny thing is remember the, what's their faces? Oh, shit.
Yeah, I remember that.
Alan's got to read.
The Kinsey Report. Remember that came out in the 60s? Well, you don't remember it, but the... it came out it was the whole thing of was like the upshot of the Kinsey Report was everybody's fucked up and there's no such thing as normal, right? If they'd only waited, 30 years, the internet would have told them that and they wouldn't have had to do the research.
Yep.
They could have even with all the Rule 34.
Yep.
Even with all the boring shit that I do in my bedroom that creates babies. The boringness of it in itself makes me bizarre. Hell, Dan Savage considers monogamy a kink.
Hello? Hello? What did I walk in on?
Speaking of kinky monogamists, hey, Brita.
What? Hi.
Brita, what? You're a monogamist? What?
Are we on the air?
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, no.
Okay. Look what you walked in on.
Hi. Speaking of... Anyway, Mike is sick.
Uh-oh.
So I've been tending to
him. Does that mean
he's
not walking around destroying electronics?
Yeah, he's in bed.
Well,
I had the flu, And I had the flu for like 2 weeks. And he finally got it like last week. And he's, he's like, oh, this isn't the flu. This is just a bad cold. Not the flu. And so, he took one day off of work, and I was like, okay, And he calls me today at like 1 o'clock in the afternoon, and he's like, I'm not feeling so good. You need to come pick me up. He's like, what's wrong? I have the chills. I'm like, so you think it's the flu now? Yeah. I'm very sympathetic.
He needs to tell you those three little words that mean so much.
I know. He really does.
You were right.
You were right.
Yep.
The three words that mean more than anything else.
I thought it was never trust a fart.
No. That's
that would be four.
That's four words.
I don't count A.
Joe Biden.
As a word. It's so small. It's such a wafer thin word.
Yeah, articles don't really count in library land either.
Don't insult weird like that. He's never spent $585,000 on a hotel room in one night.
Speaking of gaffe of the week.
We need to play the music first.
Yeah, let me play the music before we start actually getting topical.
We should have gaffe music.
Oh, I don't have gaffe music. Oh, wait a minute. Maybe I do. Hold on. Let's play the music. Well, that was a little different.
What the hell is that? Wild World of Sports?
Hit the wrong button.
I liked it, though.
But that works. Good. Welcome to the Score Report. It's Thursday, March 28, 2013. And
someone has mail.
Yeah. You know what? We didn't talk about it last week because Weird wasn't here. But in case you missed, Mrs. Weird is with Squirrel.
With Squirrel.
With Squirrel. It's an actual term, right, Alan?
That's right.
We got a laugh out of it.
It is. With Squirrel from the, I don't know, it's an archaic expression that means gonna have a baby.
Yay.
It's baby squirrel.
How's Mrs. Weird feeling?
Much better.
Oh, good.
Pregnant.
Well, she's feeling big. Yeah, I know that, but she's, sick or is she tired or craving weird food yet? Because that's always fascinating to me.
She's, yeah. Well, what's interesting is her. She's been having weird food cravings.
Uh-huh.
But what's interesting is that if I forget about them or we're unable to fulfill them, they just go away.
Oh.
And it's not like there's any cool bonus. Like, I'd be all for weird food cravings if it meant, like, the one of those, oh, my God, this peanut butter and salmon sandwich is the best thing I've ever eaten. But instead it's like, can you go get me some tater tots?
Oh, yeah.
And then I forgot about the, and then I forgot about the tater tots because essentially it was she told me to go get the tater tots because it was one of those, we need to go grocery shopping. She's like, I need to go to sleep. So I went to grocery shopping by myself, and I totally forgot about the tater tots because they weren't on the list.
Oops.
Oh.
But that's okay because she forgot about the tater tots, too. Oh. And then she went, oh, I guess we could cook those tater tots. Nah, I never got them.
Oh, well.
Yep. It's a good thing the cravings change so quickly. So, anyway, as we were saying...
Yes.
The gaffe of the week.
I like that one.
Joe Biden managed to spend over $500,000 in one night at a hotel room in France. How the fuck
Hookers
do you
and
do,
blow.
How do you spend over $500,000 on a hotel?
Okay, I mean, it's easy when it's not even, your money.
Yeah, but even if he's got 20 freaking security guards staying in the hotel with him, how do you spend $500,000? I mean, good Lord.
Ann Coulter on Twitter said something funny. She said, $500,000, you know, one night at a hotel. Keep Joe Biden away from the minibar. I thought that was hilarious because, you know, Joe Biden.
He was just buying hookers for former Governor Elliot Spitzer. That's all.
Was he saying, like, bill him to the room? I mean, good Lord.
And the hookers, he's got to get hookers for the Secret Service, too, because they got a little bit of a habit.
Yeah. I don't get it. In fact, I did some, you know, back of the napkin math, and I was like, it's not, I mean, even, you know, with egregious, like, you know, $20,000, you know, a night rooms, I still couldn't figure out how to spend $500,000 in one night in a hotel.
Oh, again, he's probably with, you know, like 50 agents.
Yeah, but still.
Or they rented the entire hotel.
Ugh.
Yeah. That could work.
Yeah, I guess.
You know?
Or
instead of doing
pool.
Security, just get the whole hotel, right?
Right.
Yeah.
That's the easiest way to secure it, is you rent all the rooms.
Yeah, but it's Joe Biden. Who the fuck wants to kill Joe Biden?
Well...
More than want to kill Obama, because if you kill Obama, you get Joe Biden as president. Nobody wants that.
So you start with Joe Biden.
Yeah, and you kill Joe Biden, you just send an Obama a message.
Yeah, but...
Yeah, get another vice president. That's the only message. God, who could he pick that could replace Joe Biden in the make him look good?
Bloomberg.
Pelosi.
Okay.
Now, they're at least not insane.
Oh, please.
Oh, Nancy Pelosi is batshit crazy. Hey. Are you kidding me?
All right. How about Carolyn McCarthy? Because she's still,
yeah, Carolyn McCarthy.
She's still in the House of Representatives after like 180 years of
how about
service.
That, shoulder thing that goes up.
How about the guy that wants to tip over Guam? What's his name?
Oh gosh, he's my favorite.
Yeah.
He's legit too, isn't he? He's actually that dumb.
Yes, he is.
Yes, he is.
He is that dumb.
He meant it.
Yeah. What was
he had another one too? Or wasn't he talking like? Didn't he talk for like? Like 45 minutes on the floor of the Senate about midgets.
Oh, God.
And about how you can't call midgets. And he said, you know, we can't use that, the M word. And by M word, I mean midgets.
Oh, I have not heard that one. That's great.
Yeah.
They keep electing him, you know.
That's the thing is, I think.
Where's he from?
I don't know. Somewhere where it counts if you're black. I'm not kidding.
Oh.
It's like a joke here in Cleveland. Like, you know, a white guy can't win to be mayor of Cleveland. But they can just run any idiot.
That's exactly why our second Speaker of the House to be indicted on a lesser federal felony got indicted for a lesser federal felony. As he was gerrymandering his district because his district was slowly turning blacker and blacker. And he knew that once it tipped over the 50% mark, suddenly all they'd have to do is run anything that was black and with a pulse, and he'd lose.
Hank Johnson from Georgia.
Yep.
Thank you, Bradley.
Hank.
And Sean posted the video. It's really fucking incredible how dumb this guy is.
Wow.
Yeah, he's real dumb. He's got a friggin' representative salary and free insurance for life.
Yeah.
I wish I were that dumb.
Well,
yeah.
Just remember that. We're paying his salary for the rest of his life.
Gee, thanks, yeah. Jay.
Thanks, Jay. Speaking of taxes.
Bringing us down.
Let's talk about the call-in topic and bring things up a little.
Speaking of racism and stuff.
Racism?
No, not the call-in topic. Our topic.
Oh, yeah.
For tonight, which I thought was pretty brilliant. Thank you, Brita.
Yeah, that was Brita's. Let's do the call-in. Let's talk about the call-in topic first, because we'll get that over with.
Okay.
And then we can spend the rest of the time talking on your find.
Thank you.
So anyway, I forget where it was. It's come up a couple of times lately. Is this whole all these every time you turn around in schools they're instead of it's like somebody gets picked on or somebody gets hit in the head with a ball and all of a sudden you can't play that game anymore. So we thought it'd be fun to hear people call in and tell us what was your favorite game that is no longer played in school because
Innies. Or what the hell? We can actually open it up a little bit to just what did you used to do in school? Like I when I was in school, I had best friends.
Oh, you can't do that anymore.
You're not allowed.
Nope.
Not allowed to have best friends.
Can't have it's
exclusionary.
Friendist.
Oh gosh. Oh well. When I was in school, I was in all gifted classes. They don't do that anymore either. Because it's makes the other kids feel bad. It's elitist. It's terrible.
Where was the school that canceled the honors night and because they thought the stupid people would feel bad because they were stupid?
Massachusetts. Yeah. It's like two towns over.
And so they decided to have an all inclusive.
Everybody gets a trophy day.
Right.
Oy vey. Okay.
Which is just.
So there's no incentive to do anything good. Basically.
I bet you still have to try out for the sports team. I'll bet everybody doesn't get a letter for their jacket.
Yeah.
Because when it comes to, throwing a ball around, that's what
Jay. Sport. It's the important things.
Yep, that's right. Hey, we got a caller.
Yay!
From Derry, New Hampshire.
Oh.
Nice.
Area code 603. Hello.
603, that must be me.
Yes.
You.
No. Somebody else.
The ever so humble, shy, quiet, and reserved former state representative from New Hampshire calling in.
Bruce!
It's Bruce.
I know that guy.
What's up? It is.
Hey, thanks for calling, Bruce.
How you doing? Good to hear from you.
I'm fabulous. I'm always fabulous.
I know. You're awesome.
It's my blog, father. And Jay gets jealous of it every time, and Bruce doesn't care.
Bastard.
Anyways, yeah, I've been meaning to call in, but, you're living a very hectic, crazy lifestyle here in the woods. It's hard to call in. But anyways, I figured I'd call in. Great topic.
Thanks.
Banning of all things sane from people's childhood. As you know, I didn't run for re-election this year because I'm teaching full-time. So instead of passing bills, I'm molding young minds. So it's even more effective.
And do you do subversive, libertarian things in class?
It's funny. I could go on all hour on just some of the weird crap that's gone down. I started teaching. I said, I'm going to take some of these magnets and stickers off the back of my car. And so I would gradually add them back on as I got to know people. And it turns out, because we're in a charter school, so we don't have all this PC teachers union bull crap going on
that
other schools have to deal with. So we are probably the most heavily armed teaching population of any school I've ever seen or heard of.
Holy moly. Cool.
It's crazy. So I got my stickers on my car in the school parking lot, and one of them is my Know the Real Enemy bumper sticker, ABC, MSNBC, New York Times, you know, my bullshit media bumper sticker. So the director of the school comes up to me one day. She goes, "Well, Bruce, we need to have a little talk." no big deal. Just want you to know that I received a complaint from one of the parents about your bumper sticker. It's no big deal. We really don't care what you'd say on the back of your car, but it was the one about the media, news media. And, well, he said, in the light of the Newtown shootings, he thought that was rather insensitive.
I don't see the connection. What's the connection?
That is epic irony.
Wow.
So I'm like, I should silence myself. Yeah, I don't think that's going to happen. So she's like, I'm just telling you this because, I have to tell you this because he came in to, to complain about it. And then he wanted the board of directors of the school to hear about it. So the chairman, the head of the board of directors, he comes in and he's like, "Bruce, I just want you to know, we got your back. We could care less what that guy thinks, so no big deal." I'm like, I'm not taking the bumper sticker off. I don't care what you'd say either. So we're not a normal school. So anyways, one of the classes I teach, I do sort of a technology and society class where I'm taking, current events from technology but also tying in to, the history of, the evolution of certain types of technology in different fields and whatnot. So it's kind of technology meets social studies. So my kids are always like, the only time I really have their attention is when I'm telling them about the good old days, the 70s and the 80s. And I tell them, I'll tell all my classes, I'm surprised me and my brothers made it to adulthood, because we'd ride with, no seatbelts, bike helmets, none of this stuff. We'd have those rusty metal merry-go-rounds that just platform on a vertical axle.
Yep.
And you'd get on it when you were in third grade, and all the sixth graders would spin the thing around, so it's so you could feel the blood going over to one half of your body. And the
True, I remember that.
But they banned those. So I had the distinct pleasure just this week of telling my students about jarts.
Yeah.
And so they're like, "What are jarts?" I said, "Well, I drew a big picture of a jart on the board. I said, this is a giant steel pole." And it has a sharp tip on the end of it. And it's got these giant plastic dart flights on it with a handle. And the point of jarts is to have 12-year-olds go outside and throw them up in the air as hard as they can. And then you're not under it when it comes down. And they thought that was the coolest game in the world.
It was.
Giant, it was fun.
Missiles of death. and they banned jarts. So I had to, it was the end of class, but I went on eBay. I'm trying to find a picture of the jarts, and I finally found a picture of a set of jarts, and the kid's like, "Oh, my God, those are so cool." I'm like, yeah, they were.
They were, yeah. That was a fun game.
Bruce, by the way, you can still get them. You just need to buy the kits. It's illegal to sell assembled lawn darts, but you can buy kits where it has the flights and the bolt, but they're not attached, and therefore they're okay.
Up in New Hampshire, what we do is we would just get some 12-inch spikes and then duct tape a couple socks to one end to act as a light.
There you go.
I'm going to say, just sharpen some Reebok.
Oh, God.
There's any number of things you can make a jart out of. I almost got into Tom Riley, the former Attorney General of Massachusetts, to enforce the Massachusetts dangerous weapons rules and regulations. He ordered Toys R Us to remove the El Supremo slingshot from the toy shelves. Now, the El Supremo slingshot is a piece of plastic with a rubber band that shoots ping pong balls.
Oh, God.
He ordered them because in Massachusetts law, dangerous weapons includes the word slingshots.
Wow.
And so he took Toys R Us ping pong ball slingshots off the shelf.
So it's the word, it's not the actual...
Yeah.
Well, zero tolerance.
Karen Finley was unavailable for comment.
Sling shot. It flings ping pong balls. So, but anyways.
It shoots things.
The other topic, the racism, gun control, and gay marriage one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, yes, I was driving home from work the other day. And it was Hannity or whoever was on. They're playing some quotes from these Ding Dongs. And they had a Pelosi quote. She's talking about the Defense of Marriage Act. And she's like, "The Defense of Marriage Act should be repealed because there's no rational basis for it." And I finished her sentence with, unlike a gun ban that bans barrel shrouds.
Yeah.
Because, you know, that's rational. So
seven rounds is good, yeah. But ten rounds isn't.
You know, trying to talk reason to them is like teaching a tree how to make pancakes. It's not going to work.
Nope.
I've tried to teach my trees how to make pancakes because I like pancakes.
I'm just trying to teach my kids how to make pancakes. I'd be happy with that. Make me some pancakes. We're not quite there yet.
I just routinely set fire to the kitchen. It's the same effect.
Yeah, there you go. Hey, thanks for calling.
Yep, good show. Keep up the good work. And, Jay, if you have another unexpected funeral tomorrow and you can't make it at 5 o'clock, I'll have to hunt you down.
4 o'clock.
4 o'clock?
That's what you said.
5 o'clock.
All right, email me.
Should I get out? I'll email. Did I say 4? I didn't say 4. 4:15.
4:15. All right.
Okay. I'll text you. We'll fix this off
here. Another inside baseball.
Yeah. All right.
All
you guys
right.
Going on a mandate?
Okay.
Bye.
Jay, is it a mandate?
A mandate.
No, it's a sad thing.
Oh, well,
I'm
sorry.
It's not sad for Bruce.
Oh, okay. Well, no, I don't want to talk about sad things.
Yeah, we don't hear
keep that. Your sad things to yourself.
We have another caller.
Cool.
Oh.
Hello, caller.
Hello?
Hello? It's Roadkill.
Hey, Roadkill.
I'm never sure if it's going to be Roadkill or Sean, so I'm always hesitant.
Oh, well, the old bastard is out playing with the sheep because it's a fairly warm night.
Awesome.
The stuff he said was too disturbing. And, you know, he put his arm around one of the sheep and he says, Trellich, how about we play the rape game? And, you know, the sheep goes, bah, which means no. And then he says, that's the spirit. I don't know what to do about this guy. But anyway.
I love the rape game.
So anyway, when I was in elementary school, I used to draw stick figure wars all the time. That was what I enjoyed to do when I had a few minutes left. So, you know, there'd be all these little stick figures, you know, firing rockets and machine guns, giant mechs, all kinds of silly crap. Now, if I tried to do that in a school, they would probably beat me half to death with a taser and then, like, put me in, like, a mental facility for the rest of my life. You can't draw weapons of any kind because, for some reason, that's a threat.
You can't even nibble your Pop-Tart into the shape of an L.
Do what?
You can't even nibble your Pop-Tart into the shape of an L. Because it looks like a gun.
Yeah, I don't, you know, don't even get me started. It's the stupidity of the, I want to wave that this is not a pipe painting in front of their faces. You know, a picture is not the thing, idiots. You know, I mean, I can say, okay, here's the thing. I can understand, you know, don't bring toys to school. No problem. You know, don't call the fucking police. You know, confiscate the toy like they used to do.
Yeah.
And give it back to them at the end of the year or, you know, whatever. Or give it to their parents or something. I mean, it's ridiculous, you know. And if they're drawing a picture of a gun when they're supposed to be doing something else in school, tell them to shut the fuck up and get back to work, you know.
They raided one boy's house for that.
Yeah, he drew a picture of his dad with a gun, and they raided the house and didn't even tell the parents what they were looking for.
No.
At least that was Canada. Or somebody, it might have been Massachusetts.
they would have told the parents once they found it.
I'm sorry. Go ahead, Ray Teal.
It was another one. It was a one where they drew a bunch of... He drew something, and they thought it was some kind of explosive device. So they raided the house looking for bomb-making components.
Well, you know, the thing is, you can find bomb-making components in every house and every house in the nation.
Yep.
Yeah.
Actually, a better one was the school that got set on lockdown because some kid had the Fresh Prince from Bel-Air theme song on his phone.
Oh, I thought it was on his answering machine.
I don't know what it was, but it was one of those. They heard the shooting some b-ball outside of school.
Right.
And heard it shooting some people outside of school, called a lockdown.
Wow.
On both the school and this person's brain.
Yeah. Well, that's assuming the apple.
Because guess what? They got really excited when they opened those coloring books for Christmas.
Oh, Lordy.
The hard part is coloring the books once they get all wet with drool.
And paste. Don't forget the paste.
Paste is delicious.
You know, what really frightens me is what are my grandkids going to deal with? What are my kids going to look and go, oh, my God, I can't believe they have to put up with this. When I was in school, I got to do this.
Jay, hopefully... You know what I'm
Because it's definitely gotten worse. Because my parents, my dad, went to school with a 22. You know, if it was hunting season, if there were rabbits running, there was a 22 going to school and sticking in the locker. I couldn't get away with that. I was able to have a pocket knife. My son would be expelled if he brought his pocket knife in. What are his kids going to have to put up with? They're going to have to walk to school butt naked through the friggin' meat popsicle scanners.
Let's hope with our hard work, they'll be bitching about not being able to use tracers during gym class.
Yeah.
Nice. You still there, Roadkill?
I'm still here, yeah.
Oh. Dead air.
Dead air.
What was the other topic?
The racist origin. Actually, we hadn't even got into it, really. The racist origins of marriage licenses and gun control.
Shall we have the Brita take it away?
Actually, we should.
No. Okay.
Go ahead, Brita.
Roadkill, are you going to stay on the line?
Yes.
I will. Yeah. Huh?
Yes, you will. The right answer is yes. Well, last night I was, you know, this whole week... On Facebook, everybody has been changing their profile photo to that, you know, the equal sign thing for marriage equality. And because of the Supreme Court, you know, they're discussing it currently. So I got to thinking, I was like, wait a minute. What is the history of marriage licenses in the United States? And, you know, you always just kind of assume that everybody needs a marriage license to go get married. And it's just, that's the way it is, right? But nobody really thinks, wait a minute, where did all this come from, right? So I, you know, looked into it, researched, and turns out that the origins of marriage licenses is based in racism. And they started, I think it was, you know, the mid-1800s, right when slavery was kind of, you know, up in the air and things were kind of shaky there. Certain states started putting things in their constitutions and, you know, requiring licenses for people to get married because they didn't want interracial marriages. And not just black and white, but all minorities. They didn't want, cute white girls marrying, you know, an ex-slave or whatever. It was an issue.
They probably didn't want Catholics marrying.
Oh, they yeah. But you just needed permission from the state to get married, and it started because of racism. Marriage licenses were kind of scattered throughout the states up until 1929, and that's when it became a countrywide thing. The government said, hey, we need to get our fingers in this, you know, this issue. And they started requiring marriage licenses for everybody getting married. Does that coincide with Social Security?
Somewhat. Social Security was 1933? Shit, now I gotta look it up.
Yeah, I don't know. Anyway, so... So I started thinking, wait a minute, it's gun control and basically marriage control have the same roots in racism. And it's all about control. The government telling people what they can and cannot do. Personally, you know, I haven't really come out and said my feelings on marriage, mostly because I don't have really strong feelings on marriage, mostly because I don't give a crap what other people do. I'm so apathetic. I don't care about marriage. You know what I mean? It's like, do your thing. I would love for everybody to be able to do their thing just so I don't have to hear about it anymore. Seriously.
Amen, sister.
I like the same opinion, Rita. She's like, I don't have a dog in that race, you know. Do whatever. Just leave me the hell out of it.
And frankly, you know, a marriage thing is based in love. You know, two people or three people or whatever the hell. I don't know. I don't care. Love each other, and they want to spend their lives together and cohabitate and have all, you know, joint stuff. Have at it. And really, in my feeling is like, to stop somebody from doing that, it makes you an asshole. Really. And mind your own business. It's not your business to tell people what to do. Those are my feelings on marriage equality.
Historically, marriage was a financial contract.
Well, sure, it was a financial contract, and also marriage started, you know, way back when men wanted to guarantee that their progeny were theirs.
Yeah, right.
Well, yeah, right. But, you know, it was the best thing they could do.
Yeah.
You know, control your women, make sure they, you know, make sure you're investing in your progeny, not somebody else's.
Someone else's, right.
Right. So, yeah, so there's my stance. But anyway, so yeah, I just thought it was really interesting that the two control, you know, both things were just based on government trying to control the people. I don't know.
So instead of arguing, and this is another thing that I find interesting about the I'm going to be guilty of painting with a broad brush here, because obviously this doesn't apply to all gay people, and you know, blah blah blah, but there is a significant population within the gay community that demands that they be not only accepted but embraced and loved for their lifestyle. And you know, it's not enough to say, oh yeah, well, you know, it's almost like they can't be saying, let's get the government out of the marriage business. It's they want that marriage, they want that word, and they want the marriage, because they want to force the entire nation to accept and agree with what they are.
Right.
The most elegant solution I can see, it's to basically pull the word marriage out of the entire system, because the government doesn't have, if marriage is a spiritual issue, then they don't have any authority to mess with it. Then it should be like, call it just a civil contract, make it across the board, make it work the same way. It has to be two people that have to be, you know, competent and, you know, both in, you know, agreeance on the terms and what have you, and there you go. If you pull it out of there, if you pull it out of the marriage religious aspect, then all of the religious folks really don't have any room to stand on.
Nor do they care.
Yeah. They're like, whatever. Stay away from our stuff. Which is pretty much the libertarian ideal. Speaking the hell of it.
Well, but, you know, again, it comes back to the whole you know, instead of arguing, it's because, and again, I'm painting with a broad brush here. It's because the gays are overwhelmingly Democrat and socialist, and it's all about the, you know, interest group politics. So they will not say, get the government out of the marriage business. They're going to use the government to force everyone else to go along with what they want.
Right. I think a lot of religious people, that's their main issue with gay marriage. And I think a lot of religious people are worried that the government will then force their church to do gay marriages when they don't believe in them. I mean, here we are now.
Because they will.
Where they will. The government is forcing, you know, Catholics to pay for other people's abortions, basically, through with Obamacare. So, you know, that separation of church and state, I think a lot of religious people are worried about that. And rightly so, in my opinion.
Yeah, to take the gaze a little bit out of it, when my wife and I were getting ready to get married, I mean, I openly said, you know, it's too bad we really don't have another option because, yeah, no, we got married by my mother-in-law, who just happens to be a notary, and that's all you need in the state of Maine. And, you know, it wasn't at a church, it wasn't any sort of religious ceremony, it wasn't anything really resembling, you know, the marriage of old. And I'm like, yeah, it's not really a marriage, you know. We're really the prime candidates for a civil union, you know, if it existed in such a way that it actually was honored in any way, shape, or form. And that, you know, let's leave the marriage up to the people that have all this spirituality stuff mixed into it, because that's fine. Let them have it.
Yeah.
I hate to hijack you for a sec, but 9 years ago yesterday, my wife and I were married by a magistrate in his house under a giant portrait of John Wayne.
Awesome.
Oh, that's great.
You did it right, Roadkill.
You got me beat, bro. You got me beat.
Happy anniversary.
Yeah.
That's nice.
Hey, we got more callers, Roadkill. Thanks for calling.
You guys have fun.
Oh. Right.
Bye.
Have a good night.
We do have more callers.
Awesome.
Good.
This is area code 919. Hello.
I know who that dude
is. Hey, Sean from NC Gunblock.
Hey, Sean.
Hey, Sean.
Hey, yeah, none of your audio is coming over the phone. I don't know if that's on my end.
It's
or
not
there.
Coming over the phone? Oh, crap.
No, I had to listen in on the headphones, which puts me about 5 seconds back.
It's the XPS PBJ.
Well, the audio over the phone is delayed, too, so...
Well, the audio over the phone is delayed, too.
Yeah.
There, I'll help.
Today was awesome.
Oh?
Wow. Mayors Against Illegal Guns was doing their thing today.
Uh-huh.
And they made the mistake of letting me know.
Oh, no.
What did you do?
What happened? Well, I saw it this morning. And I thought, well, there's this thing in Raleigh at 6:30 tonight. I'll go to that. And I look. And Durham, the mayor of Durham, is a MAIG mayor, and he was holding the press conference at 10:30. And I looked at my schedule, and I said, well, I'm going to be near Durham. I wonder if I can make it. So it turns out, yes, I can. And I got to Durham at 10:30, got in there for the press conference, and I was polite, wearing my little name tag that has, you know, Sean, NC Gun Blog, that sort of thing.
Cool.
And I waited for them to say their piece, and like a dumbass, the mayor of Durham, along with the other two mayors that were with him, he says, so does anybody have any questions?
Oh, boy.
Oh, boy, is this great.
I think that he learned a very valuable lesson. Don't ask stupid questions like that in front of me. Because I had something that I've been pushing on my blog and trying to get in, get people to think about was that this fixed gun checks thing would have criminalized something that my wife and I did last year. My wife is a little bit afraid of guns, and you know how it is. You never try to teach your wife how to shoot. You know, find somebody else who's trustworthy and let him do it. So I take my rifle up to a friend of mine's house who lives on a farm, and I gave it to him, and my wife is the one that asked. I didn't start this. He's going to teach her how to shoot. So he takes my rifle, takes her out on the back 40, puts a cardboard box against the berm, and they shot holes in the cardboard box. He kept the rifle for a couple of months so that every time she went up there, if they felt like shooting and she was up to it, they went out and they shot a couple rounds, and they put it back in the case. Well, count the felonies. You know, I hand him the gun, that is a felony because it happened on his property, not on mine. Every time that they handed the gun back and forth between each other, that is another felony. When she brought the gun back home to me, I think maybe a good lawyer could have gotten me out of that particular felony.
Wow.
But the whole thing is, like, we're all going to jail, and I can't imagine too many people would have a problem with this. So when he says, hey, does anybody have any questions, I stood up and I walked forward. I paused to make sure the cameras could turn towards me, because there were, like, four or five of them. And I said, I have a question. How is turning me, my wife, and my friend Mike into felons going to stop people from, or stop criminals from selling guns to each other on the streets of Durham, Mooresville, and Chapel Hill. And they all looked at me like, what the hell is he talking about? And then there was a little back and forth. Hilarity ensued. It was a lot of fun.
Now, Sean, remember, it's not a felony if every single time the gun changes hands, you go to an FFL and pay anywhere from $20 to $50 for the privilege of transferring the gun.
Yeah.
Okay? Because it's not about being law-abiding. It's not about being more safe. It's about bringing more money in.
Or adding enough skin into the game that people just go, oh, fuck it, I'm not going to engage in this activity.
Yep.
I mean, that's the whole purpose of the Massachusetts gun license is, I mean, it's $100 just to go buy a gun. And, you know, if you live in an unfriendly gun town, you know, that can be a pretty nasty hurdle. But, you know, I live in a super-duper friendly gun town. Jay lives in a super-duper friendly gun town. But still, it's enough to go, oh, man, I wouldn't mind getting this gun. Well, it's going to be a couple of months, and you're going to have to go through some training classes, and you're going to have to jump through this hoop and that hoop. And they just go, I mean, I've had at least half a dozen people say they'd gone shooting with me, and they went, oh, how much does this cost? And how much does this cost? And, you know, most of my friends are college educated and gainfully employed, so they've got enough money to afford, a Glock or an M&P or something or other. But then when they find out about all the bullshit they have to do in Massachusetts, they have turned around and said, eh, I'll just go shooting with you.
Yeah.
And then it'll turn around of well, it's going to be, $50 just for me to hand the gun over to you, and we're going to have to go through some paperwork and all that. Eh, I'll just go play Call of Duty.
Yeah. I think what's really going to end up happening is that people are going to ignore it, and some people... When somebody decides that they want to burn somebody in particular, they're going to pull out these laws and they're going to use them on them.
Yep.
Has nothing to do with they're going to do it to everybody. They're just going to selectively enforce it against the people who piss them off.
And hopefully they'll put on their robe and wizard hat and cast summon Alan Gura.
There you go.
I don't know. I don't think I'm going to get Alan Gura.
What if you had a robe and wizard hat?
I would pay good money to see Sean in a Robin wizard hat.
A who wizard hat?
Hey, this dude's got purple armor. He's got a Robin wizard hat. Trust me.
I wore a purple shirt today.
Frida's cracking up.
I thought it was pretty cool. But, you know, my blog is purple. So I'm wearing the purple shirt today, and I have the my little name tag is actually purple with white writing on it. I was like, goddamn, I'm themed.
I'm pretty!
Funny. It was hilarious to see the mayor of Durham's face when he got hit from a completely unexpected direction. I mean, they had kids from a school standing behind him. They had exactly the kind of women you would expect packing a meeting like this. They had the... My daughter was shot by somebody who shouldn't have had a gun. Of course, you know, having looked at the guy's criminal record, he didn't have a criminal record before he shot the girl, so he probably bought his gun through a background check. So, you know, that doesn't hold water. Yeah, it was the whole thing sucked. But walking in on him and going, hey, how about this, and having a little back and forth with it was hilarious.
So did it make the news?
Parts of it did. Somebody posted in chat the my link on my page, my blog. I posted a video from WRAL. I'm expecting more video from NBC 17, who was the other people that were there. I actually wrote up a little press release for the second, because at 6:30 they had the candlelight vigil, which didn't bother lighting the candles because the wind had blown them all out. But... I went to that with something of a press release and handed that out to any of the press that slowed down long enough to take one. I got quoted pretty well in the WRAL story. They had the video, but they also had the write-up. They quoted me on the custodian line, David Codreas' favorite, can't be trusted with a gun, can't be trusted without a custodian. They quoted that.
Cool.
Yeah, no, I think things are going good. I remember my my mother-in-law sent me a thing on, like, Rachel Maddow was doing such and such and talking about background checks and talking about how popular they were with the public opinion. And I immediately turned around to her and I said, well, all you got to do is look at the assault weapons ban. Is, you know, after Newtown, all these polls came out that said, would you be interested in banning assault weapons? And the polls were like, you know, like 70 or 80% were like, yeah, let's ban some assault weapons, until the law came out, until suddenly there was a bill with text. And then all of a sudden that support just disappeared because people
up with 40 votes for that.
Exactly. People, I mean, when someone talks about this in a nebulous term of the, oh, would you be in favor of doing X, and people make up their own mind, they think up their own ideal version of what the hell that means, and it sounds pretty good. And then suddenly it's one of those, okay, well, you know, Nancy Pelosi or Carolyn McCarthy just submitted a bill, and they suddenly look at it and they go, oh wait a second, that would make me and most people I know, who I see as reasonable gun owners, criminals. Yeah, you can count me off that list. Dead air.
Drink.
Hey, that call-in number, 214-530-0036. Thanks for calling, Sean.
All right,
hold up. Before Sean goes, are you still there, Sean?
But yeah.
Yeah, yeah. What'd you do that was naughty and bad in school?
That's illegal now.
Holy crap, I was such a goody-goody.
He doesn't have...
I think my biggest problem was arguing with the teachers when the teachers were wrong.
Oh, please. You can't do that.
That'd get Ritalin squirted down your throat with a turkey baster now.
Oh, I'll tell you. Here's a good one. I actually got called into, my parents had to do a parent-teacher conference for this one. My teacher got mad at me because we're having this discussion in class, and I could not be, you couldn't change my mind. So she called my parents in for a parent-teacher conference because their son was so close-minded. And my father's looking at her and the vice principal, and she's like, well, what was the discussion about? Oh, well, it was about drugs. And my father's like, oh, my God. Well, what was my son's position? And she said, well, your son said, well, they were illegal, and you shouldn't do them, and that was that.
Okay.
And my dad's like, and you're mad about this? She's like, oh, he needs to be more open-minded. And my father's like, lady, you just made my whole fucking day.
Wow.
I don't suspect that's changed any now. I think if you're arguing with your teacher, you're probably still going to get in trouble.
Yep.
But so I don't think I did anything that was really you can't do now because I was in Southern California, so everything was illegal.
The bell of the state.
By the way, Sean, I'm looking at the video right now. There's Captain Purple. I'm going to have to listen to it later with the sound up. But.
I'm rocking the purple. I always do. Purple.
Thanks.
Purple, black, and white.
Super studly, man.
Thanks for calling, Sean.
Yeah. Thanks a lot. Bye-bye.
I got my thumb broken in dodgeball.
Ooh.
But did you enjoy it?
Did I enjoy getting my thumb broken?
No. Did you enjoy dodgeball?
No. You know, back in the day, they used to, like, separate out boys and girls gym classes.
Yes.
And I was you know, I was in a mixed gym class, boys and girls together. And the boys got really rough. And it was just basically, and, you know, it's looking back on it, it's just the way it was. But there was one kid, and he was just vicious. And he would just, he was like, you know, you ever see the lions on the plains hunting the gazelles? He was like that, you know. It was like he would just pick us off, and he just dominated the whole game. And at a certain point, the girls were just like, oh, fuck it, I'm just gonna get tagged out and go sit down, because this is stupid, you know. So it would be like all the girls sitting down and watching Mark Lenark was his last name. And we would just all be sitting there watching him pick off, like, the rest of the weakling nerds in class. But yeah, I got pushed down in dodgeball, and I fell back, and I broke my thumb.
Ow.
Damn.
Ouch.
It.
Yeah.
I know.
I used to throw lawn darts at the kids playing dodgeball from my three-wheel ATV.
Nice.
Cool.
Yeah.
Without wearing a seatbelt or a helmet.
With no helmet on either.
Do they still do, like, the rope climb and stuff in gym class? Because I loved that. That was fun.
I doubt it.
Yeah, I doubt it, too.
They have
you can fall and hurt yourself. But they do, you know, Bruce, when he called in, he said the thing about the playground, the merry-go-round and stuff. Boy, have playgrounds changed a lot.
Yeah, they have.
A
lot.
Used to be a pile of rusty metal that you climb around on.
And the teeter-totters, the seesaws, holy moly, those are really dangerous.
Yeah, you can't hop off of those.
You better hold on really tight.
Yeah. That was the one time that being the fat kid really shined. Because, man, I could launch me some skinny kids.
Hey. Oh, Billy got airborne.
We got another caller. It's area code 503. Hello.
Hey, Alan. It's KJ.
Hey, KJ. Hey.
Yeah. Anyway, I'm thinking favorite violent game. It was a variant on dodgeball we called battle ball. It was perpetual and basically started at the beginning of whatever recess we were on, and then we kind of paused it between recesses. And it was, like I said, it was perpetual. So if someone, basically, I don't know how to put it, but there were always people rotating through. You could quit at your leisure, switch people over from team to team. And there was none of this, you know, three people left on the court or something. No, it was always the same number of people throwing Nerf balls back and forth. And it was quite an intense environment for dodgeball.
Oh, Nerf balls.
Nerf.
That would have been
nice.
We used
medicine balls because we were tough, damn it.
We used those, you know, the kickballs. Yeah,
we used those little
playground
red devil
balls.
Yeah. Yeah. The kickball sure could make a strawberry.
Yep.
Ball. I'm sorry. We were talking over you. Can you repeat that?
Yeah, I said in fourth. I'm wishing I went to Jay's school because there are some people in fourth grade I would have loved to have beamed with a medicine ball. But the other one was, yeah, the playground. I went through the transition from the steel slide on the pile of splinters that was, you know, like 15 feet in the air and completely awesome, to the neutered plastic playground that made your hair stand up whenever you went down the pathetic little twisty slides.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, we had the jungle gym. We had tires buried. Not little tires, mind you. We're talking big construction equipment tires that you could climb inside.
Yeah.
And
man,
not a year went by that someone didn't break their arm on the monkey bars.
Oh, yeah.
Hey,
yeah.
My son broke his arm on the monkey bars.
Oh, yeah. But that was just, you know, they broke their arm. Everyone looked around and said, yep, they're an idiot, and went back to playing.
Oh, the metal monkey bars.
And yet you survived, you know.
Hey, yeah. when you break an arm, that arm won't ever break in the same place ever again.
That's true.
Do it a few times and you're indestructible.
Hey, thanks for calling, KJ.
Yeah. Bye.
And we got another caller. This is, I know who this is. Olympia, Washington.
Oh. Is it MDev?
Hey, how you guys doing?
It's area code 360. Hello.
That'd be me. I'm still
who is
in
it?
Olympia for a few more weeks.
It's Hawaii.
Yes, it is Hawaii.
Oh, hi, Bradley.
During one of our few sunny days here.
Yeah, you sound different. You must have a different phone or something.
Yeah, I'm on my Vonage phone today.
Ah, okay.
Because my iPhone is dead.
Uh-oh.
So what did you used to do in school that's illegal or?
Well, like others have said, I broke my arm. I broke my knee. I cracked a leg jumping off of equipment and got told you're not supposed to do that. You know, I argued with teachers, but I was taught by
what are they called? Catholic guys.
Nuns.
Brothers.
No.
Monks.
Monks, brothers.
Some of them were nuns. They were monks, but they were the lawyer monks.
Monsignors.
Jesuits.
Oh, Jesuits. Brothers. Okay. Jesuits. Brothers.
They can swing a meat sack.
They highly encouraged arguing with them.
Yeah.
You know, you didn't have to be right, but you had to be able to defend your position and why you thought you were right. And then they'd mark you down for being wrong, but the argument got you points. More than once in class, I got told, okay, I'm not allowed to talk in class anymore because I've earned enough free speech points, as they called them, to get me in the class regardless of what I did. So, cool, I can read books.
Oh, I would have loved that.
Oh, I did. That's how I read, you know, like Moby Dick into sixth grade because I had nothing else to do in philosophy. I still don't understand that.
Free speech points. I'm still trying to figure that one out.
Yeah, I know.
What?
Sounds more like shut the fuck up already points.
That's how they were with me and my best buddy, Bill, because
we
would get into arguments with each other and dominate the class. We'd be like the only two talking. Until they said, you know, you guys can shut the hell up. Okay.
So did they really tell you that you had enough free speech points that you didn't have to talk anymore? That's awesome.
Yes. I know. What a scam.
Now, they only told us that in philosophy and in speech. But quite often, you know, it's like, you know, you don't have to participate in the class discussion portion of the class anymore. Okay. Which, you know, meant the same thing.
Yep.
I wouldn't have done well with that because shut the fuck up ain't really in my repertoire.
Nope. No, it's not.
Well, I'm ADD enough before it was ADD. You know, I wasn't a good student because I wouldn't pay attention because they were boring me most of the time.
Been there, done that.
So if they gave me a book, I could zone out and just read my book and be in my own little world and be happy.
And still probably follow along enough to answer questions, correct?
You would think so, but I've looked up and been, huh, these aren't my students.
This is my class. What are we doing here? That's funny.
The teacher's like, your next class is math. You sleep through math anyways. Yeah, that's true.
Cool.
But that's because I understood math. They always thought I was cheating somehow. Show your work. There is no work. But...
Yeah, I had the class where there was like... You answer the question, and they're like, you show your work, and you get extra credit. And we'll give you partial credit if you got it wrong. I'm like, but I got it right. And they're like, oh, well, you know, you have to show your work anyway. I'm like, but I got it right. Yes, but you got it wrong because you didn't show your work.
The first year of algebra was so hard for me because that was the only year I got a B in math. And this goes and marks me down for not showing my work. And it's like, I don't need to show work. It's a simple equation. Obviously, 4x is, you know, 12 or whatever it was. I don't need to do 20 steps in order to, you know how to do that.
Yeah. Step one, solve the problem. Step two, go back to Moby Dick.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Oh.
Actually, that was high school, so I was probably reading Robotech again.
All right, well, we're about out of time, so thanks for calling in.
Okay, no problem. There you guys
enjoy,
go.
Enjoy the...
Where the fuck is MDev?
I know.
He called in earlier, and then he hung up and went away.
Yeah, he was having issues. Yeah. He communicated with me.
Okay.
Oh.
I was hoping he'd be able to make it.
Is he having a heavy flow?
Complex negotiations.
I think let the record state that MDev is having a heavy flow.
I hope he's okay, whatever's going on.
He's okay.
Okay.
He's wearing a pillow.
He's biting the pillow.
Oh, dear. Oh, okay.
Even better. Sign me up.
I think if I can throw my two cents in on the what's illegal now.
Yes.
Yes, please.
I think
since you're the oldest.
I think the biggest thing is that
parking your horse outside the school.
Well, the biggest thing is this whole supervision of children thing.
the constant supervision of children?
It's like kids are like under some sort of adult supervision, like 24/7 now.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, when I was a kid, you know, of course, you know, in a school night, you had to like do your homework and, you know, be in bed, you know, and all that kind of stuff. But, you know, weekends and during the summer, it was like, you know, gone. You know, we're going out, we'll be out playing, we're, you know, we roamed all over the place. And yeah, we got into trouble, and, you know, but, you know, we either figured out how not to get caught, or, you know, we paid the consequences. And, you know, these days, kids don't know how to be themselves anymore, because they're so, you know, they're so smothered.
Yeah.
And parents are afraid to leave their kids alone or let them go do anything alone, because the freaking nanny state people will come down on them, and, you know, it's crazy.
You know what I've noticed in my neighborhood, which I just find so bizarre, and this kind of goes along with the, you know, the constant supervision of children, is that when I'm driving to work in the morning through the neighborhood, the kids are waiting for the bus, you know, for the school bus. And the parents are standing with them waiting for the school bus. And I'm not saying that there's like some sort of, you know, joint waiting place for all the kids in the neighborhood. It's like at the end of the driveway. Like, the parents can't let their kids wait by themselves at the end of the driveway for the school bus. It's so strange to me.
Yeah, like, I don't get it.
You know, I'm trying to imagine my mother waiting for the school bus with me.
I mean, yeah, when I was...
My mom was, like, inside having a cup of coffee, like, goodbye, have a nice day, see you later, you know, kind of thing. It's just...
As early as third grade, I'd be getting home from school, and I'd go throw a saddle on the pony and go riding all over town, all over the place. I mean, that was just...
Oh, God, I wish there was video of that.
Alan and his pony.
They didn't have video back then.
They didn't have, like,
Betamax?
Well, wow. They had... No, they didn't. They
film.
Had, like,
you had film, right?
You had, they like, didn't have electricity. They had, like, 8mm stuff.
Yeah, the little...
Cave
little
paintings?
8mm
pictures,
cam.
I'll put it this way. Pictures exist.
They called them flicker shows back then.
I had
moving pictures.
Yeah, me and my sister both. We had she had one and I had one. Little Shetland ponies.
What was your pony's name?
Peso.
That's so cute.
Did your horse speak Spanish?
It did not.
Could it count in Spanish? Uno, dos, tres.
It could not. but like all Shetland ponies, it was meaner than hell.
Could it bite the shit out of somebody?
Oh, yeah. that's where I learned to watch out around horses, because, man, you give them an inch and woo.
Assault ponies.
Yes, that's right. They are.
Assault ponies.
Alan and his war pony.
That's right.
That's Sony's kid children's book. Alan in the warp.
Oh, by the way, I have to share this because I've been sitting on it since Bruce called in. But back in my daycare days, we had the old rusty merry-go-round. That was the merry-go-round when I was in that daycare, you know, back in the days. And I used to get that thing up to about 5 or 6 G's, and I created a gateway drug.
Nice.
There would be kids lined up.
Nice.
When I would get by that merry-go-round, because they would get going. And I remember one it was at the end of the day, and so the parents were showing up, and so the kids were just playing on the playground till their parents showed up. And one of the moms walked in, and I said, "Oh, there's a mom. Everyone, hold on!" And I'd grab onto the merry-go-round and stop it real quick. And one of the kid that belonged to the kids would get out, and it looked like a drunk coming out of the truck. He'd take two steps to the left and two steps to the right.
One thing about it.
And then he'd just pile up at his mom's feet, and I'd be like, "You better take him home."
Oh, God.
Just one thing weird. You get one of those merry-go-rounds, and you're a guy with the moped. You're a popular man. They'll get going real good.
Oh, and another thing was back when I was at that daycare, there would always be someone stationed at the bottom of the big, you know, the 8-foot-tall metal slide to catch the kids as they came down. And I used to make my mom take me over to the daycare after it was closed so I could go down the slide without somebody catching me.
Aw, that's awesome.
I'd say, Mom, don't catch me. I can go down this slide just fine.
Did you bring Crisco, too?
No, I did not. Well, I was young back then. I didn't have it.
Did you go up the slide?
I'd try. I think I got more than one fat lip trying.
Cool. Well, we're about out of time.
We're going to call it a night?
Yep.
Yep.
All right, everybody. Sure, happy guys. Squirrels.
Yep. Have a good week, everybody. We will see you next time.
Next time. And I guess, it'll be post-Easter score report.
This Sunday's Easter.
That's right. It's zombie Jesus. Bunny day.
So go eat a chocolate bunny's ass.
And ham. Don't forget, because it says so in the Bible. Eat ham.
Right.
And peace. It says,
Jesus came out of the grave and saw the sunshine, and we're all allowed to eat ham now.
And Jesus said, 4 more weeks, winner!
Okay. Good night, everybody.
God, I can't breathe.
Good blasphemy.
All right. Bye, everyone. Good night.
Bye. Goodbye, Internet.